Please walk by my side in desert strife. Love me and help me when I cry. So let me sing you one more song in case I leave.
I know how I made it.
I know how I made it.
I made it by grace.
Amazing grace.
Steps that are slow.
Children are leaving one by one, passing this way and going home. Signs of the times reveal we don't have very long. But each one who stands upon the shore, waving goodbye.
Thank you, ladies. Good singing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for it. I'm going to ask you this week to prayerfully consider writing down about five families that God has laid on your heart or that you would like to reach. And we need to get back to going out and reaching people. You know, say, well, you know, I've witnessed where I'm at. Well, that's great. Everybody ought to witness where you are. We all ought to be witnessing, but I'd like to see the church get back into going out, and maybe you have family members or neighbors or co-workers that you would like to see reached, and I want you to write down some families and begin to pray over them, and then we're going to start back up our Saturday outreach and going out, and I'd like to have those names, if you feel comfortable with us going by and visiting with those individuals. Now, don't just write down somebody that you would not feel comfortable with, but if you feel comfortable, you know, some people you know could be, as I said, a neighbor, family member, someone you know maybe that's gotten out of church, maybe gotten out of this church, maybe another church. We just need to go out. And if they don't want to let us in, that's fine. We're not going to be offended by that. You know, some people may not feel comfortable with that, but there may be some people that do feel comfortable with it, and we get to share the gospel. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. Write down some families and just pray over them. And then as God allows you to pray and saturate that thing in prayer, I'll announce to you when we're going to start going back out. And you can turn in some names of those families and then come and we'll go out. You know, it's amazing how God uses people. There may be some people that I can't reach, but God will use you to reach them. And there may be some people that you can't reach, but God will use me or someone else to use them. See, God does that. God puts people in people's pathway that they can connect with. And I think you know what I'm talking about. God does that. And so I want to encourage you to begin to pray. And then I want to encourage you just to be a good witness. You know, just get you some gospel tracts on your way out if you don't have some. And love to tell the story. Just tell people. Just tell people how to get to heaven. And, you know, we can't save people, but we can certainly tell them how to be saved. Amen. We can get them to the one who can save them. And so I encourage you to do that. Well, let's do this. I want you to write a couple of things down in your Bible tonight. If you write in your Bible, and if you don't, just make a note. Moses has asked for a couple of things here. This is a long process, some things that have been going on. And God's really been dealing with Moses, with the children of Israel. And Moses asked for two things. He asked, number one, if you look in verse number 13, basically what he's asking for, I want to sum it up with one word, fellowship. Notice what he said here in verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, look at this, that I may know thee. Does that sound familiar to you? There is another one. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians said, that I may know him. Right? That's an intimacy. That's a fellowship. That's a fellowship. And Moses said, I don't want to just know about you. I don't want to just follow you afar. I want to know you more intimately. Yeah, I want our fellowship to be stronger. And that's a good request. I don't know very many Christians that if you're anywhere near where you need to be with God, you do not want to know him in a greater way, a greater, closer, stronger fellowship. And then in verse number 15, I want to sum it up in this word, leadership. Okay, look at verse 15. And he said unto him, this is Moses speaking unto God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence, up hence. In other words, God, lead us. I'm praying for fellowship and I'm praying for leadership. Now, these are two great things, qualities, that we need God to help in our lives. I long for God's fellowship. I long for it. And I need God's leadership in my life. And so, this is what Moses has done. And then Moses, as he continues his dialogue with God, he asks, as we closed out this morning, and said, now, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And we talked about how that Moses had already seen the glory of God. He'd seen the cloudy pillar. He'd seen the works of God. He'd seen God glorified in his works, the plagues. There's no way that Moses couldn't have known the glory of God and so the power of God and the plagues that were placed upon Israel or Egypt, and then delivering them from Egypt. The parting of the Red Sea had already taken place. A lot had taken place, but Moses is asking for something specific here, and I want to guide and as we navigate through this. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to go to the book of the Revelation in chapter number 21. I have given you this verse this morning, and I want to share it with you and try to help us to get a little bit into what specifically is Moses asking for. What is God's glory? I don't know that there's one word to sum it up. I've been really researching this word. The Hebrew word is kabod, okay? And when you look up this word, it means weight. Weight, weightiness, weightier. It's something that holds weight. In other words, it's got substance. It's not something flippant or shallow. It's not just a shallow feeling. It's much deeper than that. And so when Moses said, God, I want you to show me your glory. Glory in the Bible is used many, many times. You get your Strong's Concordance out and you look. It's used many times in the Old Testament, many times in the New Testament. And I wrote down some words that it means, and we'll share that in just a moment. But I want you to, Revelation 21, look if you would, after John had described the city. This is where we're going. And there's a lot could be said about this. I don't want, because this is not my message, but it's hard not to talk about the city we're going to. Amen, what a city. We're going to a place that's, I mean, it is special. And it's the church now. I want you to understand that. So, well, everybody's going to heaven. Well, first of all, we're going to the New Jerusalem. You know, we need to get our terms straight. And not everyone's going there. Now, everyone that believes that the Old Testament saints, the saints of God, they will have access. There will even be nations that will have access. In Matthew 25, there's goat nations and there's sheep nations that are friends of Israel. And so here in chapter 21, I believe that is addressed. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 23 of Revelation 21, verse number 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Now, here's a word, no doubt that this word glory here, when you look it up, it means radiance, brilliance, okay? There's a radiance to God's glory. There's a brilliance. As a matter of fact, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but if you will write down this verse, Isaiah chapter 6, when those cherubim were around the throne, the Bible said they had six wings, and with twain they did cover their what? Face. Why? The brilliance of the glory of God. And with twain they did cover their feet, and with twain they did fly. And so there's a brilliance to the glory of God. We know this because when Moses, in the scripture that we're referring to in Exodus 34, when he came down from the mount, his face was shining. I mean, it shone, the scripture said. So there's a brilliance, there's a brightness, there is a radiance to the glory of God. And so there'll be no need for the sun or the moon, for the glory of God did lighten it. And it says in verse 22, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now here we go. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, I told you this morning that when you really begin to look at derivatives, when you begin to search roots and you get behind words and where this word comes from, the word glory means weight or something that sets apart. It's very close attached to the word holiness or sanctity or sanctification. What sets God apart? Now, we know that our God, there's none like him. Listen, all through the scripture, the Bible teaches he has no equal. There's no God like our God. No God like our God. Our God is God, brethren. Amen. Now, listen, there's a lot of gods with the little G's. I mean, a lot of gods, a lot of dumb idols that people have. And I'm not laughing because at them, I've been guilty myself. A lot of dumb idols that people have that they cling to and hold to and trust to. You know, people just, it's foolishness. Rabbit's feet, I mean, just foolishness that people get in about tarot cards. But our God is just set apart from all that. He is so much greater than all of that. And Moses, in essence, is saying, God, I just want to see what... I know you're different. I've seen what you can do. I've been in your presence. Show me what it is that really makes you different. What sets you apart? Right? I mean, we're talking about a man who had been in Egypt. He'd seen all those gods. He'd seen them all. He'd seen the people bow down to him. He said, you're different than them gods. Just what is it? What is it? And we're going to see in a moment what God revealed to him. But I want you to take note of this word when it said that these kings... In verse number 24, they bring their glory and honor into that city. That word glory there is a word that means reputation. All right? Their splendor. What sets them apart from their subject? Kings are different than their subjects. And so this is what it means when it says they will bring their glory in verse number 24 and their honor. Then it goes on down in verse number 26 and said, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So let's go back into Exodus 34, and I want to just name some words. If you get your concordance, I just copy this straight out of the concordance, all right? The glory of God is seen in its brilliance, beauty, weight, holiness, reputation, admiration, character, exquisite treasure. These are words for the glory of God. It's so higher. His ways, his thoughts, he's so much higher than we are. He's the creator and we're the creation, right? And so Moses is asking God for something here. And this is what God tells him. God said in verse number 19, he said, basically, I'm going to break this down into three categories for you, Moses. He said, I'm going to show you my goodness. My goodness is going to reveal to you my glory. Look at what it says in verse 19. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. All right. Now, he mentions this again, and if you'll remember, Pastor BJ, when he read in chapter 34, and we're going to get there, he mentioned his abundant goodness. There's a lot that could be said about God's goodness. God is so good to us so often that we can't even count the blessings. We can't count the many ways that God is good to us. The very fact that when I started to say when I woke up, but I was about to forget a part of God's goodness. The very fact that I woke up this morning, that's God's goodness. Amen. And then when I woke up, I was able to get up.
That's all part of God's goodness. And we just go on with our day and we count other things, you know, that we had a roof over our head. Well, that's God, thank God for that. But what about this? We had a bed to sleep in. You know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And you say, well, you know, now, preacher, I'm responsible for some of that. We're responsible for none of that. God has given us everything we have. Everything we have, brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. Amen. God is that good. And we need to really, really, as the songwriter said, we need to count our blessings. When we begin to count our blessings, we will begin to have the glory of God revealed unto us. And so here's a man who said, God, I just want to see what it is that sets you apart. I've seen people fall down. Maybe Moses did. I don't know. I've seen people fall down to other gods. They're dumb idols. God, you're different. What is it? And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Verse number 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now, that's something. And I'm asking God, and I want to challenge you, begin to ask God, God, help me be conscientious of just how good you are to me. Don't let me overlook any of your goodness in my life, because I'm just apt to do it. It's not that I would want to do it. It's not that I would purposefully do it, but I'm human and I'm frail, I'm forgetful, and I'll do it. God, if you don't help me, I'll forget how good you are and all the different ways you're good to me. And then God said, secondly, in verse number 19, he said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And so he said, number one, he said, I'm going to let my goodness, all my goodness, pass before thee. And then he said, I'm going to proclaim my name. There's something in my name that is attached to my glory. And if you've never gone through, I'm going to give you the name of a book. Now listen, this is the kind of book you can't read and listen to soft music. You can't listen to anything. You have to get that. It's by Andrew Jukes. How many of you know who Andrew Jukes is? Okay, Andrew Jukes is a man who will give you meat. Okay? And I mean, you have to close yourself and you have to get in to the secret place. But when you do, you'll get something. The Names of God by Andrew Jukes. I challenge you. It will bless you. I mean, it just goes through the multiple. We were talking about it in Sunday school this morning. In Genesis 17, when God appeared to Abram after Abram went into Hagar, when God appeared, he said, I am the Almighty God, which means El Shaddai. I am the breasted one. What a revelation of God. And so God said, I am going to reveal many things of me to you in my name. The names of God, God used them. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, he used titles. I am the bread of life. And the things that Jesus used in the I am titles were the essentials to our lives in the Gospel of John. So he said, number two, my name. I'm going to proclaim my name. Number three, look what he said. He said, and will be gracious, the latter part of verse 19, to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, there's a couple of things here that you need to understand why God said that. If this looks out of place, right? I mean, here is Moses, and he said, God, I want you to show me your glory. I'm begging you. I beseech thee, show me your glory, right? And God said, all right, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. And he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord, and you'll notice that all capital, Yahweh, Jehovah, that's what he's saying. The covenant-keeping God, the God that you were introduced to at the burning bush, I am that I am. I'm going to really let you in on who that is. I am that I am. And then he said this, I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Now, what is God doing here? There's two things I know of. Now, there's probably more that I don't know, but there's two that I do know of. Number one, God is telling Moses, Moses, I'm not doing this because you're Moses. Now, I have a tendency sometimes, and I have to ask God to remind me, God doesn't do things for people because of who they are. God does things for people because of who he is. And I have to remind myself of this, because if I'm not careful, I'll think, well, you know, Moses, you know, God did that for Moses because of who Moses is. No, he didn't. And he's telling Moses this. I'm not doing this for you, Moses, because of who you are. I'm doing this because I deliberately choose to do this. You ask me, I'm going to do it. But it's not because of any good in you. I will show mercy and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious to. Amen. And so, you know, the sooner we can get this out of our mind, the better off we'll be in our walk with God. Because if we're not careful, we'll have this mindset, well, I'm not good enough for God to do something like this for me. Well, you're right, but neither was Moses. Right? Amen. Yeah, Moses, flesh and blood, sinner, just like you and I. Amen. And so the devil, the enemy, will try to have us to think, well, you know, God did things for those men of faith and women of faith in the past that he won't do for you. Well, God honors faith. Amen. And God doesn't do things for people because they're good. And he's telling Moses that, Moses, I'm not doing this because of who you are. I'm doing this because I'm choosing to do this. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'm going to be gracious to you, Moses. And I'm going to show mercy, but it's because that's what I want to do. But the second message in this is it goes beyond Moses. God said, I'm sovereign that way. No man controls me. No man tells me who I can be gracious to and who I can show mercy to. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. This is where men have problems. See, we think God owes us explanations and God ought to check in with us before he does things. This is where we really mess up here. And we start saying, well, God, you know, you didn't tell me. Well, God, you should have done this. Well, God, you know, if it were me, I would have done this. I'm glad it's not you. And I'm glad it's not me. Listen to me now. God is saying I'm sovereign. So here's three things. I'm good. My name is deep. It's deep. You want to know me? I will reveal myself in my name in many ways to you, as he did to the Old and New Testament saints of God, and he's still doing in his word. And then number three, I'm sovereign. I'm sovereign. That just simply means that I answer to no man. I answer to no one. I don't answer to people. They answer to me. I'm God. Amen. People answer to me. I don't answer to man. I'm going to be gracious. I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, to whom I want to do it. And I answer to no one. You say, well, now God shouldn't be that way. Well, now you're going to get in trouble thinking that way. God is sovereign. See, I trust God. God can do whatever he chooses to do, and it's going to be right. It's going to be right. So you get over, and he said in verse number 20, thou canst not see my face. So basically, by these answers, what Moses has asked God is, God, I want to see you. I want to see what makes you different. Show me yourself. And God said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And this is amazing to me. God could have showed Moses a number of things. He could have took him into a seeding high mountain and showed him a number of beauties and wonders of his creation. You know, the devil did that to the Lord Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. God could have took Moses and showed him just splendor and beauty and power in his creation. God didn't do that. God could have reminded Moses of the powerful acts of parting the Red Sea and all the different things. But he didn't do that. You know what he did? He did what's called theologically, he gave a self-revelation. He said, I'm going to show you me. But you can't see all of me. See, I know this is what Moses was asking because of God's response. Sometimes when you don't know exactly what a person means when they ask a question, if you'll listen to God's response, God knows what they mean because God knows what's in their heart. And so when he was asking, show me your glory, God knew exactly what he meant. Notice what God said to him. He said, no man, in verse number 20, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. He's saying, God, I want to see you. Show me thyself. I want to see God. I don't want to see a representation. I don't see God in a cloudy pillar. I want to see God in a burning bush. I want to see God. And God said, well, now that can't happen. You really don't know what you're asking. That can't happen. Because my glory, the brilliance, the radiance of my glory, the power, the Shekinah glory of God is such that you wouldn't be able to stand it. There's a few men, trace it in the Bible. Ezekiel. Daniel. John. They saw a glimpse of God. And you know what they did? They got weak. John fell down as a dead man when he had a vision of Christ in the Revelation in chapter number 1, right? And so God said, listen, you can't do that. So he said, but I tell you what, if Follow closely now. Verse 21 of chapter 33. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now, God's given him instructions on how this can happen. And he said, it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. Now, I found this very interesting. Something God just pointed out to me when I was reading scripture this past week. He said, you go to the place and I'll put you where you belong. I'm glad God does that. Amen. See, he said, Moses, you have a part and I have a part. Right? Is that what's happening here? He said, you go to place, but I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. He didn't tell Moses to get in the cleft of the rock. Notice again what he said. He said, verse 21, thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now, that's what you do, Moses. And he said, and it came to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And God said, I'm going to do that for you. And, of course, all of this is just this really happened. I mean, you know, this really happened. And God, the glory of God passed by. The aftermath of God's glory just swung by on that mountain. And the scripture says in verse number 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So he said, I'm going to give you just a glimpse. Just a little glimpse. All right? And so he said, that's what I'm going to do. Moses said, great. So here's what happened. Verse chapter 34, the Lord said unto Moses, I want you to hew out two stones. And Pastor BJ read this, and he said, I want you to return to the mount. Now, God hadn't passed by yet. He hadn't passed by. He told Moses, this is what I'm going to do. He said, you go to this place, and I'm going to tell you of, and you stand on this rock, and when you get there, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and you're going to get to see me. You're going to get your request answered. He said, but we got some business to take care of. He said, I want you to hew out two stones because we're going to have to rewrite some things. And I want to renew some things because there's something really, really important here that if we're not careful, we'll miss it. And so he said, I'm going to do it. And God renewed his covenant with the children of Israel. I'm thankful for that. God is letting Moses know, Moses, I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do. I got to tell you, brethren, I am so thankful that God is faithful. You know, even when we're unfaithful, God abideth faithful still. Amen. I don't know if that does anything for you, but that just really, really melts my heart. Man. God is a faithful God. As the songwriter said, great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah said it too in Lamentations, didn't he? Great. God is faithful. God is faithful. So he said, I'm going to keep my covenant. And he said, so I want you to come back. And I want you to notice what the scripture says in verse number 4. And the Lord, Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to the Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. This is very important. So God gave him some instructions and he said, you want to see some things, you got to do some things. And he said, so here's, I want you to do this. And Moses did what God told him to do. So he positioned himself for this to take place. Verse number 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. This is something. The Lord stood by Moses. Put him in the cleft of the rock, as the Bible says. And then it says that he proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, he said he was going to do this. Now, look what he did. We're just going to go down through here, and I'm just going to give you a few things, and I hope you'll get something out of this. And it says in verse number 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. So what's God doing here? He said, it's me, Moses. You want to see me? It's me. It's the I am that I am. It's me. It's Jehovah. But he said it again. It's Jehovah, Jehovah Creator. That's what that's saying. The Lord God. That word God, Elohim. The Lord God. Jehovah, Jehovah the Creator. Everything that was made, God spoke it into existence. It's me. It's me. There's something about that name. There's something about that name. The names of God reveal the character and the person of God to us. I encourage you, go through the scripture and just look at the name. There's Jehovah titles. There's Jehovah titles. I've got a person that I'm praying for, and I don't want to embarrass him. And I'm claiming Exodus 17, where the Jehovah title of God, it's a Jehovah title that says, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. And I'm praying, God, heal that disease. God, you're the healer. You have said you are the God that can heal all our diseases. I'm praying for healing, and I'm claiming that as a promise because God can heal. Amen? You believe God can heal? God can heal. God can heal. And so latch on to a promise. And he said, here it is, the Lord God. He said, I'm the I am that I am, Moses. I'm all that you need. Then look what else he said in verse number 6. The Lord God, merciful. Merciful. Now think about this. The very first thing after God proclaimed his name to Moses, he said, I am deliberately merciful. Amen. I am not going to do to you what I should. I'm not going to give to you what you deserve. Aren't you glad that God is merciful? Listen to me. We live in a proud, arrogant society. I can't tell you, if you have done this and you continue to do it, I'm going to ask you not to do it. All right? Do not say, nobody judges me but God, like that is a benefit. Okay? You need to understand something. The God that is going to judge you is going to judge you and judge me perfectly. Perfectly. And so we need to understand that we need God's mercy mingled with judgment. Aren't you glad that God's judgment is mingled with mercy? Mercy. And so he said, Moses, I want to tell you something about me that you need to know about my character, my brilliance, about what sets me apart. I am merciful. I do not give to people what they deserve, and I want to say praise God for it. Praise God. Listen, people need to know this about our God. When you begin to read through this, you'll find where God told Moses, I want you to write this down. And I want others to know about this. You remember when Jesus said, he said, let your light, Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why? How will that glorify God? People need to know through my life, through my experience, through my relationship with God, they need to know God is merciful. They do not know this. Most people do not know that God is merciful. Most people think God is just a God of judgment and that he's angry and he's going to just come crashing down on them. They don't understand that God has worked out a plan called salvation where they can be saved in God's grace and God will extend mercy to them. They don't understand this. But see, I need to exhibit that. I need to get this message out. God will be merciful to you. And he said, I want you to know something about me, Moses. I'm merciful. Aren't you glad God is merciful? Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen. You know what David said? First Chronicles 1:21, David said this. He said, the Lord's mercies are great. Amen. Great. Thank God for his mercy. Then notice what else he said. He said, the Lord God, we're in verse number 6 of Exodus 34. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. Not only will I not give, I'm not going to give you what you deserve, but I'll give you what you don't deserve. I'm going to extend grace to you. Thank God for his grace. Paul put it this way, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen. I'm glad that God's grace has been extended and an invitation has been given to every person. Thank God for his grace. And God just keeps giving and giving and giving again. God's grace, you see. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Amen. And so he said, Moses, I want you to know this about me. I want you to know that I am that I am. I am the self-existing, eternal God. And I want you to know that I'm merciful. I'm merciful. I will not give you what you deserve in mercy when it comes to your sin and when it comes to your wicked ways. But I will give you what you don't deserve when it comes to grace and extending your grace, my grace to you, so you can capitalize on my grace. So look what else he said. He said in verse number 6, long-suffering. He said, Moses, I want you to know I'm patient. Show me your glory, Lord. He said, okay, I am. I'm going to show you my glory. I'm a God that always has been, that is, and always shall be. There's not a God like me. There's none beside me, Moses. There's none like me. I'm the creator. I made everything that you've ever seen, held, known. I made it. I made it. And while I could abuse that power because I'm God, I'm merciful. I'm merciful. And I'm gracious. And I understand that you're just a man. You're just of the dust of the earth. You're weak and frail. And so I'm long-suffering. I suffer long with you. Right? I'm patient with you. You know where you'd be? You know where I'd be without the patience of God? I can tell you right now, we wouldn't be here. Right? God's patient. He's patient. See, when you're younger, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, young folks. When I was younger, I didn't think a lot about the patience of God. I didn't. But the older I get, and the more I grow, I'm beginning to really understand how important the long-suffering and the patience of God is. How about you? I'm glad God is patient. I look back over the course of my life, and sometimes I chuckle and sometimes I cry. Man, I just think, my goodness, God has sure been patient to me. I'm glad for God's patience. Amen. And so he said here, Moses, you want to see my glory. So I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to proclaim, and he proclaimed his name. What a name. What a name. There's so much in that name that probably it takes someone far more in depth in Scripture to me. It could take a year and still not exhaust the names of God. The names of God. Oh, it's wonderful when you begin to identify with God through His name. You know, the name says a lot. It does. You ever heard somebody say, you know, that family has a good name? Now, that doesn't mean that they like the sound of your name. You know, which some names do sound good, like Freeman. I like that name. Hey, man, I'd rather be a Freeman than a bondman. Yeah, amen. But that's not what folks mean when they say that. You know, I like that name, or that man has a good name, or that family has a good name. They're talking about the character. The character, there's something in a name. A good name's rather to be chosen than jewels and the things that man think. It's a good name means something. God said, my name means something. Then he said, mercy. I want you to know this about me. Do you think about God's mercy often? God help me and God help you to realize the mercy of God, the grace of God, the long-suffering. Look what he said in the long-suffering. He said, I'm long-suffering. And he said, I'm abundant, in verse 6, in goodness, abundant. You know, we pass by so much of God's goodness and we just get to what we call the big stuff. You know, God is just good in so many ways. And I don't want to overlook any of that. And he's letting Moses know, Moses, you can't count my goodness. You can't measure my goodness. It's abundant. It's abundant. And he said, not only in goodness, but in truth. God always tells the truth. You know what that means? He's telling Moses, I'm faithful. I want you to know something, Moses. I'm faithful. I tell you something, you can count on it. Amen? God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. All the promises of God are in Christ, yea, and amen. God has never failed, not even of one of all of his many promises. Not one. So here's what God is doing. He's revealing himself, because this is what Moses has asked. I want to see you. And God said, well, I'm going to reveal. I told you the name glory within that word is reputation, character. That's why Jesus said you ought to let your light shine so that men will see your good works and it'll glorify God. We want to give God the reputation that he makes a difference, that he's worth serving, right? We don't want to give people the different idea than that. We don't want to show people, well, God's not worth serving, right? I want people to see zeal in my life. Haven't always done it, but I want people to see zeal. I want people to see my God is worth serving. My God is worth everything that I can give him. And I want people to get that from looking at my life. That's what Jesus means when he said, let your light. Write it down, Matthew 5:16. It's important. He said that men may see your good works and glorify exalt, right? You want people to brag on God, how great God is. Hey, God made a difference in that man's life. God made a difference in that lady's life. Their God makes a difference in people's lives. And so he said here, the reason I make a difference, I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I'm long-suffering, patient, abundant in goodness and truth. Look at this, keeping mercy for thousands. Now, what's this mean? What's this mean? God said, I'll never run out of mercy. Amen? My mercy cannot be exhausted. My grace cannot be exhausted. The attributes of God cannot be exhausted. Right? There's room at the cross for you. Don't you think, well, you know, and I'm going to make a statement here, and some folks, I'll probably get some negative comments on this, but that's okay. Listen, negative comments bounce off of me. It appears that the virus is kind of weakening. Doesn't seem to be as many deaths, and it doesn't seem to be as strong. But can I tell you, the grace of God never weakens. Never weakens. The mercy of God never weakens. You say, well, you know, you wouldn't think the virus is weakening if you had it. I'm just saying it appears. It appears that it's not. There's something going on here. I don't know all that's going on, but it doesn't appear to be the strength and the wideness of it and the critical part of it. It seems to have weakened over time as far as its what it's doing to people's health. But can I tell you, the attributes of God never weaken. These things that I'm reading into you, they're just as strong tonight as they were when God gave this to Moses centuries ago. Centuries ago. The grace, the mercy of God is still powerful, brethren. It's still powerful. Don't you think that God can't reach down and grab somebody that you've been praying for that you may be willing to give up hope on? Don't give up hope on them. The grace and the mercy and the long-suffering of God is just as powerful today as it's always been. Keep in mercy, verse number 7, for thousands. Here's another one of his attributes, forgiving. I told you Wednesday night this word forgiving means to send away. To send away. To let go. Forgiving. God said, I'm a forgiving God. I'm glad God doesn't hold grudges like we do. I'm glad God doesn't hold on to things like man does. Aren't you? Man. We hold on to stuff. We do. But God says, you know what? I forget. I let it go. Now, that doesn't mean that God can choose to forget. But he said that what that means is I'm not going to treat you. I'm not going to deal with you as you have unconfessed sin if you've confessed your sin. I'm going to deal with you as though that sin never happened. Right? I'm going to deal with you that way. I'm going to clean the record. And then he said, forgive an iniquity and transgression and sin. And for time's sake, I'm not going to go into those three. It's amazing how God often uses these three terms to describe man's rebellion and man's position in sin against him. Iniquity, transgression, sin. And he said, I'm going to forgive this. And he said, but, he said, I don't take sin lightly. Look what he said. And that will by no means clear the guilty. God said, though I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm patient, I'll forgive. He said, I'm also just, and I'm holy, and I will deal with sin. And this is something we need to understand about God. God deals with sin. God has not changed his mind on sin. Now, a lot of people have. A lot of people's changed their mind on sin, but God hasn't changed his mind on sin, and he's not going to. He feels just as strongly about it now as he has always felt about it. And so this is something we need to keep in mind. So here's what happened. And then he said, you know, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children. In other words, God said, be careful now how you live. Be careful of your influence. Be careful. Be careful. And then verse number 8, after Moses heard this, when God passed by and he put Moses in the cleft of the rock, this is what happened. Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshiped. He was humbled. He said, God, you're so good. Worship is good for us.
A lot of people just go to church. I'm for church. You know that. I'm for church. I'm a preacher. A preacher that's not for church needs to get out of the ministry. Say amen right there. Yeah. I'm for church because God's for the church. Jesus died for the church. I'm for church. But we don't want to do church. We want to have worship services where we worship God in the beauty of His holiness. Nobody or nothing can keep you from worship. Amen. People say, well, you know, we can't pray in school. Well, sure you can. Amen. Well, we can't pray in public. Well, sure you can. Who told you that? That's not true. You can pray in public. Yeah. Well, you can't worship where there's tension. What? Who told you that? That's not true. You can worship God. Worship's a personal thing. It can be a corporate thing, but it's a personal thing. And so Moses personally bowed his head right here, made haste, and he bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. I'll give you one last thing. What's all this mean for you and I? It means that God will reveal Himself, and He already has in Jesus and to us. And God wants us to radiate this, His glory, to others, that they might see our God is different. He's set apart. And that's why He sets us apart. Because when God comes and takes up His residence, when you get saved now, if you're saved, God lives in you. God lives in you. And because God is different, and because God is set apart in His glory, He sets us apart. He makes us different. Isn't that what Moses said? He said, God, the very fact that Your presence is with us, that's what makes us different from all the other nations of the earth. That's what makes us different. Because You're different. You're different than their gods. That makes us different because You're our God. And that's what it is for we as Christians. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand this. We don't live like the world, brethren. Amen. Amen. And so he said, God said, I like that. Moses worshiped. And let's close with this. Verse number 9. He said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. And this part is special. For it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for thine inheritance. So God passed by him, and Moses said, Lord, thank you. And you said you'd go with us, and thank you, go with us. He said, but now, forgive us. Don't just be there. Forgive us. We need pardon. In order for us to fully enjoy Your presence and to fully recognize who You are in Your presence, we're going to need pardon. Now, He didn't mention this before. And He mentioned Himself. He used our. Look at it again in verse number 9. He said, and pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for Thine inheritance. He said, I want You to go with us, Lord. But I know that You can be among us, and we won't really fully benefit from that in case we get Your forgiveness, Your pardon. And if You'll pardon us, then we can recognize and enjoy and benefit from Your presence. Right? I'm glad that Moses took that next step. I think that sometimes we all could be a little selfish in wanting God's presence without understanding that forgiveness of sin is important in enjoying God's presence. I've watched and I've experienced in my own life. When I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, God can show up and God's doing things in people's lives. And, you know, I sense God's presence, but it's just not the same. Maybe I have an unforgiven spirit. Or maybe I haven't done things that I should do, or I've done things I shouldn't do. And though God is there, I don't get to fully enjoy His presence because of no pardon. I haven't sought God's pardon and forgiveness in my life. And this is what Moses is saying. God, I'm so glad You're going. I'm so glad that You've said You will go with us now. But Lord, so that we could fully benefit from that, pardon us. Isn't that what He's saying? Forgive us.
And so now I ask you, God's presence in your life, is it there? Do you sense God's presence? Are you aware of God's presence? When God is present, do you enjoy His presence? Do you benefit from His presence? Is there something that maybe hinders what God could do? It's kind of like an eclipse, right? Yeah. When something comes between the sun and the earth to block out the radiance, there's things in our life that kind of block out His presence. Oh, He's there, but it's just not as brilliant. We just don't get what we could out of it because something's blocking, something's hindering. And so I pray that we would learn from this. Let's stand to our feet. The presence of God, the glory of God, it's very important. Very important.